Hi guys, welcome to a new episode of In Other Words with Danielle and Zara.
So this is a podcast where we talk about a wide variety of different subjects, from why we're afraid to have children to our giveaway winner's special request. So in other words, we talk about all the things.
All the things. Very good.
Yes. So Danielle, something exciting happened. Well, two things. The less important thing that's mildly exciting is that our producer passed his degree.
Yes, only mildly exciting.
But I mean, compared to the other exciting part.
I know.
I mean, so congratulations, Devon.
Yes.
We are 2 years old. It is our 2-year anniversary.
Indeed.
And we did something special.
We did. So we hosted our first ever giveaway on Instagram. And you would know that if you followed us on Instagram at inotherwords_podcast. Mm-hmm. So basically, we asked you guys to enter. And if you won, then you could have won some very, very exciting prizes. So
yes.
Could have won a take-along voucher, a very exciting book called Unshackled by Basil Sparks, which Zara loved to read.
I still
need to read it, but I will read it at some point.
Good.
And also, the most exciting prize of all is that the winner gets to choose our season finale episode.
Yes. So our winner was Rachel Locke, which is super exciting. So thank you for entering and for listening, Rachel. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I suppose if you guys hate the finale, then I'm really sorry. We're going to do our best.
It's not our fault. But yeah, we are just so happy that we could have done this for 2 years.
I'm so proud of us.
Yeah. No, it's been exciting. And I'm like, we've tried to keep it as consistent as possible. I mean, we don't release every single week because sometimes we just can't. But
because some people don't even listen every single week because they just can't. So
I know,
we're actually doing it for the people.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was going to say.
Cool. Anyway. So today's episode is like an episode where I'm going to sit and learn from Danielle because I am slightly uneducated with regards to
You're not
topic.
Uneducated.
You're right. I did go to school.
You did. Zara, before we start and before we say what the episode is going to be, do you want to tell us about the local brand?
Yes. Sorry about that. So our local brand this week is a small business. On Instagram, you can find Melissa Taylor under the handle the_tailormade_life. So it's Tailormade Designs. And what she does is she does personalized stationery, specifically like journals and diaries and year planners. And she's a teacher, so she has some that's specifically designed for teachers. So it has like the school calendar and all of that. And it is custom, so you can decide what you want on it and your name, etc. And I think it's also a really nice gift. And I'm obsessed with stationery, so winning. So yes, you can find her on Instagram and give her some love, buy some things, get your life in order so that you can start 2023 off on a great note.
So today we are going to discuss sustainability and we're not going to make it a very academic sort of high level discussion because
then Zara won't understand and that will be bad.
Yes, but also because, I mean, neither of us are experts in sustainability. And you know what? I think when it comes to learning about important topics, it's important for
everyone,
the average person to understand and, to know what to do. And
it needs to be accessible.
Exactly.
Yes.
So,
shall we start with what is sustainability?
Yes, we shall.
I feel
do
like
that.
You probably have. Do you have the exact definition?
I have a definition for sustainability and for environmental sustainability.
Ooh, look at that. Overachiever already.
Yeah. What do you have? Do you have a definition?
So I kind of just wrote my understanding of sustainability as a layman's person.
Do tell.
And that is kind of like looking after things now. in order to ensure that like the future is secure or mm-hmm. safe. So mm-hmm. yeah, it's a like kind of the balance of just being able to ensure that like we're able to keep up a certain standard. So that's in general, but I think like in terms of resources or whatever kinds of resources, we'll get into it. It's basically like we have to find the balance of using things in a way that we can replace things at a similar rate so that we don't run out. Yeah. So things can mm-hmm. be sustained, like a so music true. Note when you press the sustain pedal and then.
Yes, exactly.
And not just.
Thank you for the demonstration.
You're welcome.
Yeah, so I mean, that is pretty much exactly what sustainability is. So just a very basic definition of sustainability is the ability to be maintained at a certain rate or level. And then I looked at a nice definition for environmental sustainability. Yes. And it says that environmental sustainability is the responsibility to conserve natural resources and protect global ecosystems to support health and well-being now and in the future. Because so many decisions that impact the environment are not felt immediately, a key element of environmental sustainability is its forward-looking nature. So yeah.
Yes.
That is the nature. Definition.
Was that a pun?
Yeah. Because I wrote that definition myself, so definitely thought of that.
Yes. I added the pun, yeah. So super smart.
Good job.
Yes.
Very smart. So I do have like some sort of like origin stories about sustainability, and I only Tell know me. It because it has, I wrote a lot about sustainability in my literature review for my thesis mm-hmm. because a key focus
She's
of my thesis
doing
is
the
on
things.
Sustainability.
She's doing
okay,
the
Yeah. So while sustainability is quite a trendy buzzword now, like you see it all the time, you see it in all the shops. Everyone is saying something about sustainability, mm-hmm. but its origins can actually be traced back centuries. And even the Egyptians, the Mesopotamians, the Greeks, and the Romans were concerned over what could be termed sustainability issues today, such as concerns over deforestation and the loss of fertile soil. But the first use of the term sustainability, as the way we understand it today, was actually in the forestry sector in Germany. In 1713, when they were discussing the balance between cutting down trees and planting new ones. But they obviously said this in German, of course, so the actual term sustainability wasn't used, but yeah, like a term
idea.
That we would understand as sustainability was used. And some of the earliest concerns about sustainability included population growth, and this was especially prominent with an economist, Malthus. Heightened consumption, overuse of resources, especially in the post-industrial revolution. And there were also a lot of concerns over if future generations would be able to have the same sort of standard of living, which is a term known as intergenerational equality. And basically in the latter half of the 20th century, people became more and more concerned over other issues, you know, such as issues about like pesticides and fertilizers, rainforest deforestation, the atomic bomb, and there was also just this general recognition that humanity and nature are connected and we have a duty to look after the global commons.
Yeah.
And quite an important term in sustainability is the triple bottom line, or the three pillars of sustainability.
Yes.
Which
I
is
wrote
having...
this down. We even learnt this in
Did
high
you?
School. Yes.
Yes. So you have the social sustainability, economic sustainability, and environmental sustainability. Mm-hmm. They're all linked, and to have sustainability, you kind of got to include all of those things.
Yeah. I think what people don't understand maybe about sustainability is we immediately think about the environment, and it's like, oh, the environment. But at the end of the day... Yeah. Without a thriving environment, the economy will not grow and will not mm-hmm. flourish by any means, because if resources run out, then the economy is screwed. And then the economy has a direct link to people. So it mm-hmm. is a triangle. And if you don't look after the one facet, it will negatively affect the others.
Exactly.
Cool.
So sustainability, why? Is it so important? Why are we discussing this?
Okay, so have we spoken about the nuances? Or do you want to discuss that later? Or was that part of it?
We can. I don't know. I just had it in that order.
Okay, so why it's important.
So we can discuss in any order, yeah.
Let's do why it's important. The first one is that, realistically, as I just mentioned, we are running out of resources. It's the most obvious one.
Sad.
But we are running out, exclamation mark.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, exactly. And I also think sustainability is important because it's affecting people now.
Yeah.
So I think often, especially if you're living in a more wealthy country, or like a country that's not so vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, it's easy to think like, okay, like what's the big deal? I'm not going to be alive. Like it's going to affect us only in however many years. Yeah. But the reality is that countries, especially poor countries, are the most vulnerable, especially like the ones on the coast as well. And these people are being, like their lives are just being uprooted and ruined just because of intense disasters.
Yeah.
That are only going to become more and more prevalent. So if we care about people, we should care about the climate, I think, and about sustainability.
Yeah. I think and one thing I had here is that because of the fact that we are running out of resources, things become more expensive. The less accessible is, the more expensive it is. And the more expensive things get, the bigger the gap between the rich and the poor become.
100%.
And it's already huge. So you think about like the number of people like walking on this planet that don't have access to basic resources. That's only going to get worse. Because if people can't afford things now, when there aren't things and it becomes like a privilege to have like what we have now considered a basic need, like it can be like quite sad.
I also think so. If I'm smiling, it's not because I'm happy about what you're saying. It's because Piggy just broke into my room.
She broke in.
She's very naughty.
She cares about sustainability.
But yeah, Tazara, what you're saying is very, very true. And I think, yeah, when we think about sustainability and the impacts of climate change, like you can't ignore the inequality that already exists between humans that will be exacerbated by that. Mm. And also, like, I don't know, just for, like, to introduce maybe a more spiritual and like Christian point of view, like I really do believe that God cares about his earth and God wants us to protect his earth. I mean, that is
like the first commission that he gave gave man was to, you know, be good stewards of the earth.
Yeah. And I like one of my pet peeves is always like if Christians say, or like, why do we care so much about the planet? Like you should be spreading the gospel. And I'm like, can we not do both?
Yes, amen.
And it's also, amen. You know, just the idea that, oh, God gave us the earth so we can do whatever the heck we want. But, like, I mean, should we? The question is, should we?
Yes.
Should we be causing suffering?
Yeah, God gave some people children. That doesn't mean you can just, like, do whatever you want with them. Exploit
literally.
Them.
No, like, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So,
Yeah, I think it's our responsibility. Like if humans are the ones causing the issue to begin with, then surely humans are responsible.
No, we are. Yeah. And yeah, we can link it to human action. Like all the bad things happening with the climate, it's directly linked to levels of like industrialization and emissions and all that. So yeah, it's definitely a problem. Okay,
indeed.
So shall we get into some of the nuances of sustainability?
Yes.
Yeah. So I think something that can be quite complicated about sustainability is that it is just not a simple, like, I mean, it is a simple concept, but actually being sustainable is not simple. It is just a very, very nuanced sort of topic. And there isn't, like, whatever choice you make in your life, there's always going to be something out of it that is not going to be sustainable. And I think one of like the worst parts of it, and someone did write this in to us when we asked about thoughts on sustainability, is that like most emissions and all that come from corporations and all that. But individuals are sort of blamed for it, like the consumer, mm-hmm. the average consumer is sort of blamed for these things, like, oh, you shouldn't have bought a straw, you need to reuse your plastic bags and, I don't know, buy whatever. Yeah. But it's not always recognized that our individual choices might not make as much of a difference as we want them to because of other things like that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's something that I've struggled with. You know, it's like sometimes you do have these moments, and not just with this, but you can apply to just life in general, where you often think like, how much can I as an individual make a difference? You know, like, for example, if I adopt, okay, that's great. One child now gets to have, you know, a home.
Yeah.
But what about every single other orphan? Like, it's just, it's very difficult, and you can feel often very overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But I think because of the fact that we are consumers, like, ultimately we do have, like, the option to try and be more sustainable, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, like, if one person, for example, stops supporting a company that is, like, largely or hugely to blame for, like, damages to the environment, the exploitation of people, etc. Like, it might not feel like a big difference, but, like, you have a bigger influence than I think you realize. Like, we have a huge sphere of influence, and the people we have influence over have influence over other people, and the other people who have influence over them have influence over other people. And so
absolutely.
I think if it were a priority, we would, I mean, rally together to, like, stop supporting a specific company, for example. But I think because, and I'm very much to blame for this, because I feel like, oh, I won't make a difference. I don't add myself to that. And so,
yeah,
you know, like,
for sure. Yeah. I mean, most of us, me included, like, I've always been quite passionate about the environment, but I mean, I still support some companies that are not the most sustainable. And I mean, the thing about being a person in this sort of generation and being surrounded by the culture that we are surrounded by, it's very difficult to step away from that. And especially when the rhetoric is really, there is no ethical consumption under capitalism and all that, which is true. But I think when we constantly hearing, oh, the individual, like, stop blaming the individual, stop, I don't know, putting the blame on the individual. I just said that, but I think we are actually playing into the hands of the wealthy, you know, like, we're really just spreading this sort of pessimism around. And obviously that's going to make more and more people think, well, there's no point then. But in reality, like you were saying, if we all sort of rally together, if we're all passionate about it, like, we should all be rallying together to try and make some sort of change. But I mean, it does feel like, I mean, it is a huge task. Like, it is a massive task, because actually when you think about it, it's about changing the whole system. And we said that even, like, we said that about many things. It's always about changing the system. But like, when our culture promotes overconsumption and like, instant gratification, you know, like, it's a whole thing that needs to change.
Yeah, and I think it's just been embedded in us. Like, I think we have, like, we're not willing to change our way of thinking, which isn't, I would say, like, isn't my issue, like, not my main issue. I think my main issue is, like, my willingness or my unwillingness to adapt. It's like, if you've always done something a certain way, it kind of, like, feels like, why change? And, like, I'll even compare it to, like, racism. For centuries, racism was a normal thing. Like, you taught your kids to be racist and they taught their kids to be racist. And, you know, countries were governed by racist policies. And then normal people stepped up and were like, oh, no, this isn't right. And so now we teach our kids not to be racist, because one person, one generation to the next was willing to say, actually, we need to change our way of thinking. We need to be willing to adapt. And now we still have issues of racism, but we live in a country where we no longer live under constitutional racism. And I think if people were willing to change and adapt the way they do things and teach their kids to adapt, because if I teach my kids to live sustainably, they'll never know any other way. So, you know.
No, exactly. Yeah. I completely agree. I had a thought that I wanted to add, but it's gone out of my head.
Can I ask you about like certain things that
You may ask me. I'll see if I can have any answer.
Explain to me and the people what our carbon footprint means.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is not a scientific sort of
definition.
Explanation, but your carbon footprint.
Listeners don't want a scientific definition.
Your carbon footprint is basically, it's kind of like the amounts of emissions in a way that you give off through your actions. So, for example, if you're driving to work every day, that forms part of your carbon footprint. If you are, I don't know, burning fires all the time, that's part of your carbon footprint.
South Africans if you are love to braai.
No, realistically, that doesn't add. No. That probably doesn't contribute much. You are importing a lot of things, that adds to your carbon footprint. If you are consuming a lot of meat and dairy and things like that, or even some plants like avocados or almonds and things like that, then that forms part of your carbon footprint. Just basically everything that you do that has some sort of effect emission. It has that effect on the environment. Obviously, as just a normal individual, if you're like not a billionaire, your carbon footprint is probably not super significant. But I do think, you know, we do have to take those things into consideration.
Yeah.
And actually, I do remember what I was going to say. Another thing that comes with, so I've seen a lot of discourse on TikTok and Instagram and all that. Because, you know, people advocate a lot to support ethical and sustainable clothing brands. Like, if you don't need to, like, don't support brands like Shein or, like, those really massive clothing brands.
Get ads for them all the time. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But then there's another group of people saying, but it's classist if you're saying that people can't buy from those brands because they're so cheap. And I do agree, we don't need to villainize cheaper brands, but the reality is that people who are poorer are not the ones spending so much money on those brands. Like, you see these people on social media and on YouTube having these massive clothing hauls or whatever, and it's like, they didn't need to buy that much, you know? So it's like, if you can't support like more ethical brands or whatever, then you got to survive. That's how it is. You have to do what you've got to do. But for us who don't need those things, why are we buying those? You know, why do we need clothing hauls?
Yes. No, I get you. I agree. And then I think my one question is, like, at the end of the day, it is like these billionaires and these really big companies that are having the most dire effects on the environment. Mm. And to what extent can the law prevent that? Because if there's legislation in place, then how is it still happening? And if it's not, how do we put it in place? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I think, okay, I'm not really an expert when it comes to these things, but I'm not an expert in anything, by the way.
You are the best podcaster and best friend there ever was.
No, you. Oh, we're both experts.
You. Oh, look at us.
So one of the problems with the big corporations is that they can pay the fines and they can find the loopholes. So there are, for example, in South Africa, I think we have the carbon tax. But in the very wealthy companies who are polluting a lot, they can just say, well, we're just gonna pay tax, I guess. Like, it's easier for them to do that than
hectic kill.
Than to cut back. So I think that is one of the issues. Please, if anyone knows more about that than me, feel free to add
come on the pod
in the comments. Actually, please.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
And also, I mean, there are just often loopholes, and companies are also very guilty of greenwashing. So yes. Pretending we'll like they
chat
are.
About that.
Yeah, pretending yes. like they are being green when in reality they
being
are
red.
Doing no such thing. Exactly. Yes. Very red.
I agree, and I think though, like something that I know some companies do, is like employ someone where that is their main responsibility, is looking for ways for one to be sustainable. And it would be cool if that were a norm in a company, you know, like 30 years ago, HR wasn't a big deal. Like people were exploited. People were, you know, if you work was a sucky situation, like, oh, well, but now you have people employed in human resources to manage the human resources to make sure that people are being well looked after. And it'd be cool to get to a place where like that was like a requirement for a business in a sense.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
More than just you have to be socially responsible, but actually like hire people who are so passionate that they want to help businesses, no matter how big or small, figure out how to be more sustainable. Because I think it's difficult as an entrepreneur, if you know nothing about sustainability, to try and be sustainable. But like if you could like outsource or like hire someone who's specifically passionate and studied it, like, you know, and some companies do that, but not the majority.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm just gonna let Piggy out my room and I'll be right back.
Yes. Are we gonna do how to be more sustainable next?
Yeah, I just wanted to chat about, are we going to
I put problematic like, ideas the at the end.
We are we going to read the people's submissions? Because otherwise I want to discuss some of them now. Like, because I was basically wanted to discuss things like.
Yes, let's do it.
Electric vehicles and being vegan.
Yes.
On here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. Okay, now also when thinking about the nuances in sustainability, it also made me think of just some of the choices that we make. So we did ask you guys to submit some stories. We got like 4 responses.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting many.
No, me neither, but
this
we didn't
topic
need a lot.
Scares many a people.
So I just wanted to talk about some of the nuances with that. And I know I don't want to like discourage anyone from being vegan or going vegan, because it is like it is widely recognized to be like a fairly sustainable diet and like a more ethical way of living. But I think what a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of just because you're not consuming like animal products, which do contribute a hectic a lot to carbon emissions and other methane emissions and all that, doesn't mean that you aren't contributing in some way. So just for example, like some plants to grow are extremely like they're really not great for the environment. So
really
things like avocados, for example, use up a ton of water and are often not the most ethical to be farmed, especially if you are getting from I can't remember exactly where actually, so I'm not going to mention any countries if I'm telling a lie. But yeah, that is one of the things. And also products like almonds are pretty bad for the environment. And there's loads more. I mean, there's lots of lists of things and I was like, oh, this is quite hectic. But once again, it doesn't match up to the amounts of emissions that come with like the meats and the dairy industry and all that.
Yeah.
And also the thing is, if you are like buying some fake meat products, especially ones that aren't locally produced, then like those also definitely make some emissions. Yes. And if you're importing it, then
came on an aeroplane.
That's it's a lot. Like, it's really a lot.
Yeah.
And like also another thing, like with being vegan, So a lot of people choose not to buy products like leather or wool or anything like that, which is like completely fair.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I went through a stage when I first went vegetarian. I decided like not to buy leather. I since have bought some leather products just because they last so much longer than faux leather. And that's really like what I want to emphasize. Like often, like so many shops will market something as being like vegan leather. It's just plastic. Like it is literally just plastic. And yeah, it's the same thing as like if you're buying faux fur, like it's all just like artificial material. It's not gonna biodegrade.
Yeah,
you know. Wow. So like these are things that you also need to consider, and like for ethical reasons, if you don't want to purchase or support the animal industry in that way, then you do you. But like, I don't know, I always just think the impacts of it's like, for example, like I bought my Doc Marten boots, and they are leather, but they'll last me hopefully like 20 yes. years, you know. Yes. Whereas like I've bought like faux leather boots and clothes, yeah, and other shoes before that last 2 years, you know. Yeah. So it's like when you're constantly having to rebuy things like that, like that's not sustainable, you know. That's just consuming.
So yeah, that's interesting then. I think it's dangerous
to consider.
Yeah, it's dangerous to err on any side of the extreme because yeah, then you don't weigh up those things. That's very interesting.
Yeah. But yeah, like I really do want to emphasize that the agriculture industry makes up a tremendous amount of emissions, and like it is bad for the environment. But at the end of the day, like if you want to continue consuming your meat and your dairy, like you were saying, it's much better to support a local farmer, especially if you know like the sort of practices that they use.
Yes.
The other very, very interesting topic that came up was someone said to be more sustainable, they don't drive an electric car because the production of an electric car produces more emissions than the production and like the life of a normal car ever will. Which I think is quite interesting. And this is one of
arguments.
No.
Okay, I was going to say, who did that research? It sounds false.
Yeah. So it is true that the production of an electric vehicle does produce more emissions and uses, I think, more minerals than the production of a normal car. But in the life of an electric car, I think most studies have shown that you do reduce emissions. And especially if you are living in a place that uses more renewable energy. So for example, if you're living in a place like I think Norway or even France, which uses nuclear energy, like using an electric car is very beneficial. Because you obviously, you know, the problem comes in, like for example, if you're living in South Africa and you have an electric car, the electric grid, I mean apart from load shedding, but the electric grid itself is still powered by coal, you know. Yes. So like you are still producing those emissions if you drive an electric vehicle,
whereas if I'm charging my car with the electricity that the sunshine has produced or my wind turbine, then like
exactly. So I would be quite interested if this person can maybe message us and show me the study where you found that there are more emissions overall. I would love to see that, because literally everything I read said the otherwise. I mean, like I was saying, like if you are living in a place that still uses fossil fuels to produce electricity, like the benefits are unfortunately a lot smaller than otherwise. But
yeah,
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, like it's all about, like, I mean, I know I was saying, oh, it's all about the system changing, but you know, the small things do make a difference.
Yes.
To sort of toot my own horn, I did write an opinion piece, which is like a similar topic.
Should we link it? We'll link it.
I will link it in the stories.
Early on today, I shouted outside of my office, does anyone read Mining Weekly? And they were like, why? I'm like, because my bestie wrote an article.
Yeah, and like, this is also just one of the nuances in sort of the debates around green energy. And that is that to manufacture and produce like the green technology, it uses a tremendous amount of minerals. And, you know, mining is notoriously like not necessarily a great thing for the environment. But at the end of the day, like, I think the stat is the production and the overall like lifespan of green energy and like the green technology is like only 6% of that of fossil fuels. So, you know, you have those things to consider, and it's all about implementing better practices in the mining industry and value addition. I'll link the article. I thought it was kind of good.
Anyway.
Yeah, ugh, who cares? We'll see if anyone even knows what that is.
Sean will. He's extra like that. He's also annoying.
So annoying.
That's why we don't have him on this episode.
Yeah, or ever. Never again. No joking.
Okay. So now I think the part that is arguably, we hope, most helpful.
Yes.
Because, we're going to try and make this practical.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. I've just got very basic things, so...
Yeah, no, me too.
Yeah, I don't have anything super profound.
Okay, do you want to start? I was just talking a lot, so you can talk now.
Sure, in case the people missed my voice.
I did. As I was talking, I was like, this is terrible.
So the first one is LED lights. If you do the research, like LED lights, just like it's... consumes far less electricity. It's actually cheaper. And for the longest time, I hated them because I don't like white light. But you actually do get warm colored LED lights now. So,
yes, that's a good one. Very practical, Zara. Very practical. Shop LED.
Yes, not actual LED. Bad LED.
Yeah. Okay. So my top one was consume less. Yeah, I mean, it really is. Yeah, stop eating so much, Zara. Stop eating so much.
I'm sorry.
No, I'm joking. You probably should carry on eating the same way or even more than what you're eating now.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, when you think about recycling, people often forget the first one is reduce, reuse, recycle.
It's very true.
Some of us have got to work on reducing.
The reduce part.
Mm-hmm. And like... I think we can often be sort of, coerced into thinking that we need to buy like the products that like look sustainable, you know, but at the end of the day, like, do we need it? Do you need like a certain container for your, I don't know, whatever the heck, because it looks more sustainable.
I need to get bamboo everything now. It's like, the same with like,
if you don't need to, then don't.
Yeah, and I think we'll maybe chat about this with problematic ideas, but it's problematic when sustainability becomes an aesthetic and not sustainability. The same way that
minimalism
is an aesthetic now and not actually minimalism.
Exactly. No, it's exactly the same. Like, sustainability should be minimal, to be honest, but we also like our things. I like things.
Yes.
So it is difficult.
My next one is stay home. And if you don't want to stay home, then take a walk.
So take a walk. So
because,
good.
Yeah, so my point is actually to decrease driving. And I'm not a very good example of that because before recorded this podcast, I realized I forgot one of the cables for my microphone. So I had to quickly drive home to get this cable. So that was a waste of petrol that I paid for and unnecessary. But yes, decrease driving if possible. And we've spoken about that in other episodes, like with regards to carpooling and stuff, so we won't go into that. But
yeah, I am also a terrible example. Okay, so one of the next ways to be sustainable is to compost. The reason to do this is to prevent food going into the landfills, because actually food waste makes a ton of carbon emissions. Or no, really? Carbon. What is it? I'll tell you now. I wrote it down. Oh, it is carbon dioxide. Methane? I don't know. I can't remember. Of the bad stuff. Yeah, yes. It produces some of the bad stuff. So when it's just left rotting, it produces a lot of emissions.
Wow.
And yeah, it's pretty, pretty bad. I think they said it was estimated that the U.S. food loss and waste embodies 170 million metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent, GHG emissions, which is global house gas emissions, and that's equal to the annual CO2 emissions of 42 coal-fired power plants. So it's quite hectic.
Food waste.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, listen, we don't compost. We used to, but then there were rats living there.
Fun.
But yeah, it is something that I really want to get into, because then you are, you know, using your leftover scraps, etc., to help with other things.
Cool. And then for me, clothing. So Danielle will know that I keep my clothing forever.
Yes.
But since I moved, I do have a new rule that if I want to buy more clothing, I need to give away. And I've also had to come to terms with the fact that, like, for example, Danielle will know, but I have a wedding I'm going to coming up soon, and I was like, I need to buy a new dress because everyone's seen like the dresses I've worn before, and I'm like, it's not my wedding. What? No one cares what I wore,
literally.
So you know what I mean, there's nothing wrong with re-wearing my dress, and if I want to get a new dress, fine, but then I best be getting rid of the old one, you know. So for me, I've kind of made the commitment that if I want to buy clothing, I need to give away clothing.
That is really a good one. And
yeah.
I had a similar point, is that just instead of throwing clothes away, if you don't want it anymore, then try to give it to charity or give it to someone in need. Or even like if you want to make some money. Some people do. They just like throw it away, which is insane to me. I think like maybe
a couple of socks that had like holes bigger than
three toes. But it's like, shame. Do we want to give that to a person?
No. But yeah, otherwise, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then also just on the clothing trend is buying secondhand clothes where possible.
Yeah.
And we both enjoy thrifting. But it is honestly so difficult sometimes to find something like in your size that you would actually wear. That for me is always like one of my things. Like I'll have a specific idea of what I want to buy, and then I'll go look at a secondhand shop or whatever, and I'll see corduroy something, but it won't be in my size. Oh, bane of my existence.
Dream of my life.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
What is the quote from bane of my existence and the object of my passion or something like
that? Is this a Bridgerton?
Yeah.
Oh, lol.
Object of all my desires.
Oh, yes.
That's how I feel.
Yes, let's make that a meme.
Yes. I think so.
Okay, whose turn is it?
You go.
Yes. Okay, so my next thing is don't wash things unnecessarily. So if you need something out of the wash really desperately, like maybe quickly wash it by hand, but like don't put like a half a like load of laundry in, and then and the same with like dishes. Like
yeah,
I think some people like to, like I know people who wash the dishes like 3 times a day. My gran used to.
Hectic.
Because she wants the kitchen clean.
Yeah.
But like it's so much better to just, you know, wash once there's like enough that you actually, it's worth using the water that you're using.
Yeah. So,
yes. Wash. Don't wash unnecessarily.
That is true. There's even like some interesting statistics on like how much, I think like a lot of people have it in there, like have the idea that it's more like it's better for the environment to wash things by hand than by machine. But it's also not, like, that's also not always the case. Like, sometimes, like, using up all the water and, like, getting the water to heat up to wash things by hand can be equally as, like, wasteful. So it's interesting. Okay, Try to shop local and seasonally, especially when it comes to food. So if you can avoid buying things out of season, because if you're buying things out of season, it's usually imported, and we've already discussed things on airplanes, things from ships, like it does contribute a lot and it's not great for the environment.
We'd love for it to be mango season all year round, but that's not how the planet was designed.
And listen guys, I'm a big avocado fan, I eat it every day, but we do try to buy it when it's in season, because also when avocados are not in season, the ones we get are just disgusting. They are not good and we should not buy them, even though
you do,
just so you know.
Okay, is it me again?
Yes.
Was it you? Okay, then this is gonna sound so I do have a problem with regards to the fact that I prefer reading paper books. It is a fatal flaw. I'm so sorry. However, I'm very intentional about reusing paper. So if I have paper at work, I have random sheets of paper that I will use both sides. I will use scrap paper. It's something so small, but I will use the paper until I've written on every inch of the page.
Good.
So and if there's a typing error or something, I'm not gonna reprint it. Get over yourself.
No, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think you need to feel bad about enjoying paperback books, because you also buy a lot of books secondhand, and
I do.
As with most things, buying secondhand is just great. Furniture, clothing, books, you should do that. Everything has its problems anyway.
True.
Another thing is, if you are going back to clothes, but also anything really, is it is good to buy things made of natural fibers and materials. So for example, Zara's frozen. Are you okay? You good? I was scared.
Let it go.
I have. Yes. Oh, so cute. So it's good to sort of look for clothes or other things made out of materials like hemp or bamboo or recycled cotton in particular. And even I was saying, if you want to be sustainable, try go for wool and leather. But once again, it is probably better to get those things secondhand if you can do that. Listen, guys, if you have a whole full cupboard made of, I don't know, other materials that are not natural, don't go and throw them all out. Wear what you have and don't go buy new things unnecessarily.
Okay, then my one, which is everyone is tired of it, but I just don't use plastic bags ever anymore, actually.
Yeah, just don't. Why?
I carry my, now that I live alone, I always have canvas bags in my handbag or in my car. And it's actually not, it hasn't been an annoying life change. People feel it's very inconvenient to take your own bag into a store, but it's actually very easy.
It's very easy. Yeah. It's a thing. People don't want to be inconvenienced, but this is something that does not inconvenience you. It really doesn't. You just have to carry some things, and you know what? That's good for your fine motor skills and also your other motor skills.
Yes.
I'm making things up.
Good job.
It's probably good for something.
My next one is, so I am a lover of showers. We've spoken about our passion for showers. I like hot, long showers. And I've had to learn to not be ridiculous about it. However, something that I realized I used to do is, it takes a while for the hot water to kick in. So you don't stand under the freezing water. But I had a habit of putting the water on and then brushing my teeth or doing something in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then getting in and then the water's warm. Whereas now I'm quite intentional about standing there and as soon as it's warm, getting in rather than just letting it run.
Yeah.
So, It's very something very small, but it makes me feel less guilty about my long showers.
Good. I like long showers, but I don't know. Even when I was at your place, you said I took very quick showers and I was like, I didn't even realize. I think I get bored standing. I'm like, okay, time to move on with my life.
My problem is my shower speaker, probably.
Probably. Yeah, another thing that I wanted to say, and like, this was also just linking back to my first point, I guess, like consuming less, but also like as you need to get new things, like as you need to buy, let's say, a new toothbrush or a new hairbrush or basic things like that, then like try and switch over to things that you can like reuse and have like more like natural fibers, yeah, and like natural materials, yeah, because they are more biodegradable. So for example, if your toothbrush is coming to the end of its life, maybe try and get a bamboo one, like, yes, we said, or like a bamboo hairbrush, or like, let's say if you finish using your plastic razor, like maybe try and get a metal one or something like that. Things, yeah, that you can, yeah, things that don't make such a big impact. And a lot of times those things are actually quite cheap. Like they are not, yeah, often not more expensive. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say.
Mm-hmm. Cute. Then, so this one, I think I really took this for granted, was recycling in Cape Town, or at least where I live, we had a recycling bin. So it was like, you throw the recycling stuff in the recycling bin and the other stuff, yeah, in the other bin. But when you move out of Cape Town, you do not have that luxury anymore.
Oh, so, no.
Yeah, that was like weird for me. But there actually is like a... like a refuse, like a recycling plant nearby where you can actually drop stuff off.
Oh, that's and cool.
This might seem like a, like a loss. Imagine having to like constantly be dropping stuff off. Mm. But what my landlord and landlady do is they have like this big, they'll do like a big bag in their garage, and only once it's built up enough, so they don't have to constantly go, once it's built up enough, yeah, then they will go and take it to the recycling plant. And that might seem like a mission, but like if it's something you only do once every 3 weeks, once a month, like is it really that, yeah, much of an inconvenience?
Exactly. So, and in the greater scheme of things, like, you know, yeah, it's really not that big of a deal. No. Yeah. And then another one is just educating yourself about where things come from, like I was saying, yeah, just knowing like what you're buying, what you're supporting, what you're giving money to, and figuring things out. And also, yeah, just like be open to learning about new things. I think that's like a very, knowledge is a very key part in power, becoming a sustainable person. Knowledge is power. So true.
Yes. And then I have one more, which is,
yeah, I think I'm done.
A basic thing that has always, I think I grew up like this, so that's why it's, for me, it's like, why does everyone not do this? But switching lights off.
Why, yeah, you are very good about switching lights off.
Your brothers.
I know, it's terrible.
I'm just like, you don't need the lights on in your home if you're like, you're not in the lounge.
Yeah.
Like, get over your fear of the dark, mm-hmm, and just like, only, it's okay, you can walk in the dark for 2 seconds to find the light switch to switch on the light. Like, just, yes, switch off your lights, people.
Okay, so some harmful or bad things about sustainability, that's what we're talking about now.
Yes.
Okay, so honestly, this is like the main thing I wrote down, and then I forgot to write down the rest because I was like, oh, I could just remember it, which, yes, is one of my problems. But eco-fascism. So,
yes,
let's discuss this. This is quite an interesting topic to me. I will give a little definition of what eco-fascism, mm-hmm, is. And this is more of a right-wing ideology. So like, yeah, sustainability and caring about the climate is like, often seems to be always like a liberal sort of leftist thing to do. But
yeah,
they are extremists on every single side.
Yes.
So eco-fascism is an environmentalism that advocates or accepts violence and does so in a way that reinforces existing systems of inequality or targets certain people while leaving others untouched. It is basically environmentalism that suggests that certain people are naturally and exclusively entitled to control and enjoy environmental resources. Some types of people, in other words, are native species and others are invasive. So, yeah. So I think this also ties a lot to the overpopulation argument,
mm-hmm,
but especially eco-fascism is very racist and uplifts white people in particular against particularly like immigrants or people of color. And like you often I'll often see people, and I don't think people are necessarily eco-fascist if they say this. I think they're just very misinformed. But like when we you'll see picture of like women like in Africa or like in India, I say in Africa, like an American, like in African countries, like with a large amount of children, and people will be like, oh, this is why we're having such problems. But we're never looking at like they are not. They're not using that many resources. Like it is not that. And I think it's very dangerous when we are when we encourage violence or encourage like any sort of eugenics or population control to protect the environment, especially like we were saying, like the problem is not the amounts of people. I mean, listen, maybe I'm like horribly misinformed and there are just way too many people, but we do know that we overconsume. We do know that is an issue. So when your environmentalism is okay with killing people, then I very much disagree with you. So
I think the issue with that and with so many things is I think people use good causes for political gain, and that is the huge issue. And sustainability and everything surrounding sustainability is no different.
Exactly. It can easily turn very problematic and harmful,
and it's difficult because it is a political issue, but it's also everything is political. And then
did you want to
I think we did speak about it, though. It's just this whole idea of greenwashing.
Yes.
It's really true. Ugh. It's like, you can make something look so sustainable, but you package it in plastic. And I'm like, I don't understand.
Literally.
Yeah.
Ugh, it's terrible. Well, it's like something will look sustainable, but you can't even recycle the container. Mm-hmm. I'm like, anyway, speaking of which, you can reuse a lot of containers. I didn't say that, but...
Yes.
You can reuse many, many things. So don't immediately go and throw away your plastic. Look at that.
Yes. Don't go immediately throw away your plastic stuff.
That's very good.
Thank
For anyone who doesn't know Zara, she did not drink water. And now she has been influenced.
Yes.
But yeah, there are a lot of harmful things that come with sustainability and environmentalism. And... Yeah, I think, I mean, even some protests can turn quite violent when it's protesting for the environment. But I think, I mean, once again, that comes with most issues. Like, people get very passionate about these things. But I think when you are protesting, you do need to be thinking about people. And I know a lot of people do sort of, like, elevate the environment and all that above people. And they have this idea, like, oh, we are like, this invasive species and we are so bad and all that. But I'm like... I do agree that we've been treating the earth badly, but I don't think it has to be that way. Like, let's educate people. Let's not alienate everyone. Because I think the danger is the second that we start talking about, like, any sort of eco-fascist ideas, or the second that we start, speaking poorly against, like, the human race as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And to be clear, I do think we've done a lot of damage. But I think it alienates a lot of people in the process because it's like, well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that humans are as evil and terrible as that.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I think in closing, I'd also say on the opposite end, a lot of people are like, I want to look after people before the environment.
Yeah.
But looking after the environment is looking after people.
Exactly. So we have to realize it's a connection, you know?
Yeah.
If we want to keep on living, we've got to look after the good old earth.
Look after the earth and continue listening to In Other Words.
Mm-hmm. We will give you all the tips.
Yes. We will be a sustainable podcast by continuing for generations to come.
Yes. Very so sustainable.
Yes.
Cool. Okay, I think that's the end of the topic. We did want it to be like short, but I mean, it is difficult when it's a big topic.
is what it
There's
is.
So many nuances. It's multifaceted.
Yes.
I haven't said that one in a while.
No, you haven't. Good job. Okay, everyone, we will see you in the next episode. Remember to like, subscribe, follow, do all the things, please.
Please.
It won't take you that long.
Like, yeah.
Help our sustainable podcast be sustained. This podcast please. Will not be sustained if you do not like it.
Yes. Okay.
Bye, everyone.
We can say goodbye. Yes. Bye, guys. Thank you for listening.
Bye.